G3. The Model of Being and Its Universal Laws. Number 18B.
So I quickly define each level through some specific characteristics. They're all characteristics which you have in the level book. And so I repeat this in a roundabout way. When we talk about the level of science itself, then it means that we talk about really the infinite one. The infinite one, the infinite only, the one infinite being. So you can see it as a very concentrated sense of the one being and a being in a capital B. That's important to see, because there is only one being, which afterwards naturally expresses itself in infinite being, small b. So it is the one being, the Lord our God is one Lord. It is actually that I am that I am. It's just stating God as what he is to himself. That's the highest level of science, to give a statement of God, what God means to himself. That's perhaps an expression that gives the best impact and shows that that God is just one being, but that that one is an infinite being and not just a number one, just not an erratic block of being, but an infinite concept of the one. So that if we explain being as the one infinite, we can see that there is nothing else besides that one being. It's the only being there is, the infinite being from everlasting to everlasting, the infinite being. So our thought will touch that level of science itself when it wants to have an answer just about the question, how big is that one being? What is that being? That it is infinite from everlasting to everlasting. There's just that one infinite. That one infinite is constantly a self-operative sense of himself, operates always as the infinite one. At that point, we can see that the infinite one does not operate as ideas, but always as the infinite one itself or himself, so that there is nothing going on in all eternity but the infinite one. And you have a very simple, straightforward sense of that infinite one as the infinite principle. It's not the divine principle, it's the infinite principle, because it doesn't say anything about its divinity, how that divinity is the answer to humanity. It just says something, that it is the only principle, the one principle, the infinite principle, and therefore there is no other principle besides that infinite principle. Naturally, we know that that infinite principle can somehow be explained through its synonymous term. That's quite clear. So that infinite principle is in itself the infinite mind, the infinite spirit, the infinite soul, the infinite life, and infinite truth and love. But it's always the infinite. So that there is just that wonderful sense that principle is the one and only, and is principle to itself. So that one gets a feeling here that actually we can say, well, why should God have a universe? Why should we talk about the universe? What's the good of talking about the universe? After all, there is just one infinite principle that is principle to itself. And perhaps you have seen the gesture I have made. If you think about that gesture I made, then you get it perhaps even better, that it is the one infinite that is infinite to itself, and therefore the infinite contemplating itself. That's the whole realm. So that actually at that point we could say, what more? What do we need more? Why should we have another level of consciousness than that? Because that includes everything. And actually it does. That includes everything. If principle is principle to itself, then we have the whole infinite. I always talk about the same terms, but I have to do it so that to impress really the tonality of that level. So, with some right, one could ask, why, what do we need more? What do we need more? Well, we need more because our human understanding is such that it cannot grasp this at once. No human understanding, which has been under the tradition of tens of thousands of years of thinking quite differently, can therefore accept this highest point of science itself right away. Therefore, Mrs. Eddy has done that enormous saving job to translate that high altitude of science itself right down to where we are, right down to that level where we can fathom it, where it is possible for the human understanding to fathom the divine, so that the human can embrace the divine. So that we don't have just divinity embracing humanity, but also humanity embracing divinity. So what Christian Science actually wants to achieve is actually to do the very thing to translate this high sense of science itself right down to the human sense of things. And only because of that, do we have these levels. Therefore, we can see that God Himself has no consciousness of levels. That we must see clearly. That God Himself does not need the system of levels. He is what He is. He has been revealed already to Moses as the I Am, that I Am. There is nothing else. So, we can see the chart is for us, not for dear God Almighty. It is for us so that we have a ladder that comes down from heaven to earth, and that the angels then can ascend on that ladder and ascend to heaven. So, because this science itself is of a much too big a concept, Mrs. Eddy introduces other levels. And the next level is divine science. Why? Why is it divine science? And what does that mean? Actually, we know that the Bible has its climax in divine science and not in science itself. The Bible ends with the fourth side of the holy city, which Mrs. Eddy calls divine science, and not science itself. And John Dolly made quite a point always that the climax of the Bible is divine science, whereas the climax of the textbook is science itself. Whereby, I must state, that very few statements are in the textbook that describe really the level of science itself. Because, and this is quite a good reason, because what Mrs. Eddy had to give was Christian science, therefore had to translate it to the level of absolute Christian science and Christian science, and therefore she only here and there had to indicate the authority from which she takes those lower levels, and only very few statements are in the textbook that really describe the level of science itself. For instance, when she says that God is His own infinite mind, When God is what? His own, see, his own infinite what? Mind is a capitalized self. His own infinite God. God is his own infinite God. Where the I am is the only I am. Yeah? So these statements in the textbook are very few. Therefore, we find more statements about divine signs. Why? Because we know that divine signs presents now the divine nature of the divine principle. It presents the universe of the divine principle. Not principle itself, but we know that that principle always has a manifestation, as therefore a whole universe, therefore is manifesting itself in the whole infinite realm of the universe. See? So divine science is therefore that which has to do with principle and its infinite ideas as one. You can see that divine science is that which shows that the principle of being has a creation, a whole creation, a whole universe, but embraces the whole universe, that from the one comes the many, comes the whole creation, and that those manys are always embraced in the one. They are not outside of the divine principle. Principle and its ideas is one, but it's a realm of ideas. And so divine science introduces, besides the capitalized terms, the ideas of the capitalized terms. Science itself is the infinite principle. Divine science is that infinite principle translated to a whole universe, which is now divine, so to a divine principle, and we get the sense of a oneness of the universe, an all-embracedness of the universe, where principle and idea is one, where there is no, division between principle and idea, where principle and idea coexist, are co-eternal, that they are not separated, and so you get the sense of principle including all ideas of the universe. And you get quite a different attitude when you looked at my mannerism or the way I use my hands, that you could see this gives you the sense of divine science. The moment we ask, what is the universe? How does the universe look like? Is that universe something separate from God? Or is it one with God? Then our thought and our questions are on the level of divine science. So the answer to this question in divine science is no, principle and its ideas is one. Principle is not separate from the ideas. Principle is coexistent with all ideas, co-eternal with all ideas, so that principle always includes all ideas, so that when principle includes all ideas are in a realm one, and you get the sense of oneness, whereas in science itself, we had a sense of the infinite one. So the infinite one in science itself translates itself to divine science as an infinite oneness of ideas held and embraced by the divine principle. Yeah? So in this way, you have that very often, very clearly expressed in the textbook, that perhaps she would say at one point, God is all, and put that all as a capital A. But she also could say God is all, and a small a. Well, that makes difference. I nearly said a hell of a difference. The moment she says God is all with a capital A, and you know that science itself. God is all, because it's a capital A. But when it is in divine science, then it says that all, God, is the all of everything, of the whole universe. And then she says, God is all in all, whereby the first all is capitalized. God is all, dash, or hyphen, in, the hyphen, all, small a. Can you see that that is divine science? That depicts that the divine principle is not only principle to itself, but that divine principle has an infinite expression or creation or manifestation as ideas, but that these ideas are all together one big oneness. They are not isolated ideas, and so they are one with the principle and one with each other. And that is no more the infinite one, that's infinite oneness, the divine oneness. So every time a question comes up within ourselves that says, now, are there many universes, or is there only one universe? You ask universe, you ask not God. Don't ask, is there one God, or are there many gods? You're asking about the creation, not about the creator. Creator, I know that you say creator, but I say creator. Door, in order to differentiate it with the creation. So the moment we have a problem that has to turn around that point, well, do we have to deal with many worlds? Do we have to do with many creations? Has everybody his own universe? Or what happens? Or are we one world? We have to go to divine science. Divine science, then, is the appropriate answer for that level. Is that clear, too? I know I'm silly to ask a question. How could you say no? But I always ask that silly question. I don't know why. I know it's silly. But sometimes I would like to see a nod or something, or a face beaming or something like that. It would be quite nice, you know, that I would say, they got it. Okay, so we can ask, where do we live? We live and move and have our being in God. What level is that? That's divine science. Because we ask about man. We ask about the perfect man. Is the perfect man an isolated concept? Or is man an idea of principle, of God? Included in God, embraced by God, one with God, one with all other men, with one mankind. That's divine science. So if we want to solve any question that has to do with a divided universe, with a divided mankind, then we know that we have to heal that through the level of divine science. There we get the answer of the oneness of the universe. Yes. Actually, I have forgotten something that perhaps I should have taken in when I was explaining the level of science itself. So I do it quickly. Namely, with presenting the levels in a positive way, one also should always indicate the answer it gives to a negative situation. To the question of evil, to the question of matter. So I go back quickly, and you are flexible enough in your consciousness that you can go back quickly to the level of science itself, where we said that science itself is that where we see that God is God to himself, that God is conscious of himself, and that's the infinite one. In that consciousness, we can see that evil is no factor. It not even enters the question. Evil, therefore, is unknown on that level. There we can say God does not know evil. There we can say truth has no consciousness of error, because it's unknown. The question not even arises. See, not even arises. It's actually only there where we really find the final answer to this eternal question, which every student has and should have, in order to clarify it, where does evil come from? So that as long as we ask that question, we know that we are not on the level of science itself. Because on that level, we do not ask that question because it cannot arise. It cannot arise, that question, you see, because God only knows itself. Therefore, a question that is outside of that holistic sense does not appear. What about when we have a universe of ideas, divine science? There again, the question must be dealt with about evil. How do we deal with evil on the level of divine science? In divine science, where we have a whole universe, there naturally we have to say, well, what kind of a universe do we have? There we must say we have a universe of ideas, a universe of good, and therefore the concept of God is excluded. That's another answer than to say the question of error does not even arise, is unknown. Now, the proposition is, but I have a whole universe, and that universe is of what nature? It says, well, it's of the nature of divine, of God, good. Therefore, what about evil? Well, evil doesn't enter into that realm. So it is excluded. So you take already some kind of notice of evil. See, we can only, on a human plane, we can only handle evil if we take notice of evil and handle it so that we can reduce it to nothing. But we cannot reduce it to nothing on the human level if we don't take notice of it. Then we are blind and we just play an ostrich policy and say there is no evil, and then evil has a jolly good time with us. So in order to see through that question, we have to see how on every level that question of evil is answered. So here we come to the point where we see that no, as Mrs. Eddy says, no supposition of error enters there. It's not even that error does not enter there, but even no supposition of error enters there. Not even the question can enter in because we exclude it. So that there is in divine science no problem to be solved. The problems that we have in divine science are all positive problems, are all problems of infinite evolution and progress and progression, but not solving neither a positive nor a negative problem. It is the problematics of something is excluded. So in divine science we can say we have no unanswered question because it includes all. So no question can come up that needs an answer, or else we already go out from the point that there is somewhere ignorance, that there is somewhere an error, that somewhere there is a misunderstanding, so that doesn't enter. Therefore we can see, as we have shown in that pamphlet on the breakthrough to the next millennium, that if we go out from the seven synonymous term and are thinking out from the seven synonymous term and see how they operate through their ideas, then our thought is on the level of divine science, which excludes even the supposition that there can be a mistake, that there could be error. Think of that altitude of consciousness in the world in which we live, where from a mortal standpoint we seem to be just in one mess. But how we can deal with that big one mess in a very supreme way if our consciousness is tonality-wise attuned to divine science. Because in divine science, error is excluded. The whole mess of this universe is excluded and does not need to be healed. Only when we don't have that high altitude of consciousness, which we usually don't have, then we have to translate it even further down to the level of absolute Christian science, and even further down then to the level of Christian science, so that even then, on that level where we take notice of evil, where we suffer under evil, where we fear evil, where we fear the future, etc., where all those negative elements enter in and have a real place value within our mortal consciousness, there we have to deal with error in a concrete way. I will do that tonight, 7:30.